Welcome to the Chief of Anything podcast in this four-tone vierklang format with Catherine Woods and Dominic Klimek. Our vierklang format talks about the interplay of purpose, vision, values and strategies and about what happens to companies when we bring these four together. Here I hear firsthand how the vierklang strategy has transformed companies and what I can expect from its implementation.
Hello, Dominic. How are you today?
I'm feeling fantastic, Catherine. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And I'm very excited about our guest today. We've got Andy Haynes, the creative director of Origami, with us today. Andy, welcome to you. How are you?
Hey, Catherine. Yep, I'm good. It's the evening here for me here in Auckland, New Zealand. I'm often talking to you guys around this time, so this will be fun.
Fantastic. Fun as always. And Andy, Origami is a strategic brand agency. You've already mentioned it. You're based in New Zealand, but working around the world. And from what I've heard, you've had quite a long history with the vierklang model around purpose, vision, values, and strategies. Tell us a little bit how you found out about the vierklang model.
So very quickly, I'm originally from the UK, trained as a designer, went to St. Martin's, did things that a designer does, met a girl in London who's a Kiwi. So we came back to New Zealand and I worked in a lot of design agencies over the years. But when we set up Origami 15 years ago, my two partners, Chris and Chris at that time, Chris Taylor was the marketing director of Vodafone New Zealand, and Chris Knox ran the agency that eventually became FCB, as we know it today. And he had that agency relationship and worked with Graham Maher, who died a few years ago now, but he was the CEO of then Vodafone Qatar, when we go into our future of Origami a little bit. And that's where I encountered the purpose, vision, values, strategies model, and met our person that we know together, Mr. Michael Ports, the founder of Koa Academy.
Wonderful. Thank you. And for people who don't know, like Graham Maher, he's like the grandfather of the vierklang model, and he ran Vodafone Qatar exactly like this. And when you go through the purpose, vision, values, strategies workshop, you learn about this. And then, of course, Michael Ports, the founder of Koa Academy. If Graham is the grandfather, Michael is the father who has really made this vierklang strategy coaching model big, helping companies to find a purpose, vision, values, and strategies. And Andy, what experience have you made regarding the vierklang model so far? Working together with Michael, working together with Graham, how many years have you been involved in the vierklang model in general?
I myself, 15 years, and then Chris Knox in our business with the Vodafone business was previous to that. So I would say probably the business has been aware of it for at least 20 years. But me personally, where I first learned about it and saw it come to life was that Vodafone Qatar example. And right at the same time, we did another business, a very big gym chain here in New Zealand. It's a big, big global success. We used exactly the same thing. And it doesn't matter what the business is. We've done it for a very big seafood company over here. You can do it for very small businesses. It just brings everything together really successfully. Michael often says, well, you know, the whole is greater than the sum of the individual parts. And this is what this does. I think it's the other thing that's great for me from a creative director point of view is it all happens on one single page. and all I need is an A4 sheet of paper, and that is the whole of the business strategy. It does not matter how big the business is, whether it's 10 people or 10,000. You wouldn't need another piece of paper if you get that all down and get it all right. And obviously, there's a lot of a journey to get there, but its simplicity is its beauty.
That sounds awesome. And you've mentioned, like, it doesn't matter if we're a small business or a big business, we get it down to one page and it's all there. I imagine for you being, at the side of the strategic brand agency, working with different brands, that would make a big difference for you as to how you approach your job. And I'm assuming probably also how quickly you get to the results everybody is looking for. Would that be all right?
Yeah, as a creative, you often, and so part of our philosophy at Origami is, if you only remember one thing about Origami, it is right first, brilliant second. And the brilliant second bit describes the creative, the right first describes the strategic. You've got to have the strategic right up front. I can color in anything in any direction, but without that strategic force of planning, and the Vierklang purpose, vision, value strategies gives you that. And you can reflect on it, and you can not only measure creative, but you can measure the reception area of a building. You can measure the way the call center picks up the phone. You can measure the graphics that you put on cars that run around town to promote the business. It's all measurable, and that's what's beautiful about it. No one should go rogue and produce something that is not on strategy.
Interesting. You were mentioning that the whole Vierklang, it's quite a journey. I would love to hear, like, from your experience working together either with Vodafone or with one of the other companies, how was their journey from, like, start to finish? Like, what did you experience when they came up with the purpose, the vision, the values, and the strategies? And what had to happen to get to that brilliant one pager that has everything together that makes running a business so much easier?
I'll break it down to maybe, I'll go a positive version, and then I'll go a negative version that ended up being a positive version. So the fishing company, to begin with, the fishing company came along and said, we would like to speak to you about designing us a new website. And we had, luckily, the CEO in, and after we explained, well, we don't think you need a website. That's not the right thing to do here. The right thing to do is to fundamentally look at why you exist for your customers. And we need to do a big piece of market research on those customers. And those customers were mostly outside of New Zealand. So Chris Taylor, one of my partners, traveled to the US, to Europe, I think a little bit of Japan as well, because the Japanese love sashimi and things like that, and talked to all his customers about their perceptions of the company, and getting their outside-in opinion before we began the greater work of putting together the purpose, vision, value strategies was really helpful. Because they had different perceptions of themselves and what the customers did. And there's some historical perceptions they also had too. And so before we sat down in a room with the larger management team and do what we call a ground zero day, which is basically asking those questions. I know, Dominic, you've talked with Michael about that on a previous podcast, and it's asking those smart questions about, you know, the why do you exist? Where do you think we're going? How would we deliver this? Which is another way of saying, what are your values? What are your behaviors? And what do you think we need to get there? And it's good to have in those early sessions a little bit of conflict. And we always say in those sessions, we don't mind a bit of blood on the floor, because people always say, oh, well, who should I invite? And you need to invite people that are skeptical. It shouldn't be a room full of skeptics, but there should be a couple of people that you go, I'm not sure if you're going to enjoy this. I'm not sure if you're going to like some of the answers that are going to come out. In that regard, is it a beautiful tool for strengthening culture, but also weeding out people that aren't right for the culture? So anyway, that's a bit of a longer story about the fishing company. The fishing company had a wonderful South African CEO
who had a voice a bit like Arnold Schwarzenegger and was able to engage all the people in the company beautifully.
That's part of this, is that the management have to believe in it 100% and deliver it like a show to everybody. In this case, people who were in the sort of meat works part of the business, you know, filleting fish filleters and things like that. People that was all they did all day, but they were very good at it. And the simplicity of this model comes straight down to them, so they know what to do. So you've got to have a nice show when you deliver that, and you've sorted it all out in those rooms and asked all those questions and really pored over the importance of those words. You deliver it with a nice show. And then I remember with them, we thought, what is the best way we can think of to get to all of the staff in the business? And there's a lot of them. And the best way we got to was in the lunchroom next to the salt and pepper on the tables. We did a very simple tri-fold tower with thick card. And on each of the sides, it had something pertaining, you know, it had the purpose, it had the vision, it had the values, and the behaviors and the strategies on that little card that sat there every lunchtime. And, you know, when it got a bit munted or bashed up, there would be a fresh one put down there. And along with posters on the walls, it became something that was always there. And that's important. It needs to always be visible and always be a reminder. And it reminds me of the strength of those Google guys when they said, we're not the CEO or the CTO or the CMO. Our job is CROs and it's chief repeating officers. And all we got to do is repeat the strategy to everybody. And if we build it, they will come. It's that sort of simple.
It sounds to me like in the beginning, they came to you and said, like, it's a simple task, like, we just need a website, which is something that a lot of companies have. Like, we have the simple thing we need to do. And then there were different perspective on how do we do it. And then what they actually needed. So they wanted a website, but what they needed was the deeper cause. Like, why do we exist? Like, running through the purpose, the vision, the values, and the strategies. Because having this makes it so much clearer how the website should look like. And in the same process, then involving all the employees, getting them on board. And this is what I took from your example with the cards and the posters. Once you have that, it makes it so much easier to get everybody aligned in the same direction. And what I also heard is if people if they heartily disagree in the beginning, it can be so valuable, because if I have a meeting talking about company culture and somebody says, no, we are not this, we are not fun, we are more precise, and somebody doesn't fit in that company culture and I have a different perspective, having those people that do not align with that new culture leave the company is better for both of them, because there's one company only has one culture. If I don't fit to a certain company culture, I'm not doing myself a favor, and the company as well has problems, because there is a different culture. And aligning this by having those naysayers in the beginning, those critics, makes it so much easier to align the whole company and then to get everybody on board.
Totally. It's a powerful tool in that regard. And you sit there occasionally in meetings that you know you're years down into doing, well, you've done it for years, a purpose, vision, values, strategies, whole the business, and you see new people come into the business and you sometimes go, ooh, that's not on point, that sentence you just said. And where did you get that from? And what's your background? And yeah, and it's like you have a reaction like a cat, you know, with the hair goes on the back of your neck, and you go, "Ooh, that's interesting. That's not well, I might call it on brand being a creative, but yeah, interesting." I'll give you another quick instance of something that was not good, but then turned out well. About 8 years ago or so, small real estate business in New Zealand wanted to do a property management brand and came to us, and we did it, and we used a model, not a purpose, vision, values, culture model, but we used a brand architecture model. And I can't quite remember the reason we did that at the time, but I think it was just the simplicity of hit the ground running. This is what we need. Brand architecture is also a beautiful model, but not as all-encompassing as that business plan on a page. So we'd done that. The business had been really successful. And then earlier this year, I you know, you sort of do projects and clients go away and that's that, and they're all set for a while. But earlier this year, they came to me and said, Andy, we were doing a project about our values, and we did it with this guy, and he was really, really well regarded, absolutely professional, and we went and did it, but nobody knows how to use these values now, and all the young people in the organization actually don't even really know or understand what they mean.
It sounds great on paper, but it's not applied by anybody in the company.
Okay. This guy was a good, you know, business coach. Nothing wrong with him. He'd had success stories, but then, you know, oh, we want to do our values. In he came, did the values. And the other thing, that was the other thing they said, oh, Andy, when he did it, it felt like we were all in school and he was the teacher. That I thought was super insightful, because I reckon I've never had an experience of doing purpose, vision, value strategies where you get that, oh, hold on, we're all kids in the room and the teacher's the CEO and he's teaching us. Oh, yes, well, you know, oh, you don't know anything and I'm going to teach you. It's always a really nice collaborative piece. You know, there has to be some strategic thinking and some people do take the leads on occasion, but it is collaborative and it is communicated and talked about robustly. That's what nice about it as well. So I said, okay, that's a shame that got a bit buggered up and your poor young people have no idea what to do with this. I think it was old fashioned language. So it probably thrust some stuff onto them without really going through that process of understanding. So I said to the guys, well, listen, and they were a little bit nervous about, Andy, we need this fixed. We know you can fix it, but we're not sure how. And I said, well, let's not isolate values. I can smash you through a purpose, vision, value, strategy session in a really fast. Real estate agents, by the way, don't have a lot of time for anything except selling houses. They want to get on with their job, get in, get out, onto the next house sale.
That might be a bit of an overgeneralization, but you can have people being bored on strategy sessions. Everybody needs to be engaged, taken on the journey. Hey, it's a bit like Coa Masterclasses. It's entertaining, entertainment of business strategy. And if you were there and it was all like PowerPoint and it was all, you know, oh, here's a big slide. I've got to read all these words through. People get bored and disengaged. So I got one of my junior designers because I went, okay, we need to engage all this youth audience there. We got them all to come in and we ran a purpose, vision, value, strategy session within one morning. And because, and it was three directors there, all like this is now, 8 years later, the number two real estate business in Australasia. So all of Australia, all of New Zealand, these guys are number two. They know what they're doing, but they just made that mistake to isolate those values. We got through that so fast and it was so on point. And then over the next, say, probably a week, we tweaked words in the model. Just little tweaks here and there. But the guts of it got hammered out super fast, super efficient, super engaged. We had really good, quick arguments. Everything went on the page. Values got done as a part of it. And then we released them visually in their own world to sort of go to everybody, this is the values of the business. And then there was a big show and tell and everybody got invited to an interactive art session and did paintings of, they were almost like Vera Klang paintings, you know, with the heart in the middle, the three circles, you know, just expressed from a art point of view. But that was just a really strong example of don't try to individualize these things. They all need to go together and work together. And that's that, Michael, you know, that's that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
I love that, Andy. And thank you so much for kind of like bringing that back in and mentioning it once more. It's so important to look at these things all together. And you've said a few key things. You said, well, we can't have people being bored in the workshop, right? So important to engage everybody. So important to have people buy into this, because what happens if everybody gets bored, nobody listens, a few people contribute, then we don't have the buy-in of the people that we need in order to bring our purpose to life, in order to make sure that our vision comes to life in these 5 years that we're planning for it. And in order to have people follow the values, number one, no good if nobody understands them. And number two, of course, once we do understand them, we buy into them, we start living them, magic happens. And I loved your example of the tripods on the table in the first company you talked about. And we've heard that from a few other people we've interviewed in these series. And our listeners, if you've listened to the other podcast, you'll have heard of really creative ways of bringing this to life. We had one company where their kitchen, where people have lunch or go for a coffee, they have the purpose, vision, values model on the walls. They had somebody come in, paint the walls and kind of like graphic design that onto the walls for people to be able to see it on a daily basis, those visual cues, those inputs. I need to have it present in order for it to turn into the reality we live in, right? And what a great success story to have become the number two in this huge market and very competitive market, you know, by having the clarity on that. I absolutely love that.
Yeah. And it's always there within those people. It's just how you distill it is the good stuff. I'm not going to say it's the clever stuff, because I'm not sure it is intellectually clever and intellectually smart, but it always exists. It's always there. It just needs to be uncovered a bit. And once you've got it, virtually everybody in the business will agree and go, oh, that's obvious. And it's just, it is also the way you present it to people. And it's authenticity. It has to be authentic. If it's not, you'll get found out. And as I said, it's got to be that management buy-in. And often we have CEOs who want to create a legacy, perhaps for themselves, and it might be in the long run of a business, you know, that is 100, 150 years old or whatever. What is that little point that they're going to make? Sometimes we evolve it ever so slightly. So with Vodafone in Qatar, we didn't call it purpose, vision, value, strategies. We called it why, which was the purpose. So why do we exist? Vision was, where are we going? Values was, what do we need to do to get, how are we going to deliver that? And then strategies, what do we need to do to make that happen, and list it like that. I'm not sure whether that made it easier, those sort of, you know, the why, where, what, how, made it easier to understand in a language sense. But either works.
And I think the, like when you say, like, it doesn't matter what words I use, like the most important thing is the structure. And from what I've heard you say so far, involving everybody in the whole process, like using the swarm intelligence and getting all the values out of the whole company. And I can imagine sometimes when I'm in a company, I have these highly extroverted people, and they say, like, this is how we are supposed to do something. And usually they're very loud and outspoken, and they go first. And then I have people who are more introverted. They're more quiet. They have brilliant ideas, and they are just holding them a little bit back. And I could imagine if I have, what you said, like these people who say, like, this is how we want to do it, and it's like a school system, and somebody saying, this is the only direction, not using the swarm intelligence, I don't get the buy-in from the people, and I neglect the brilliant ideas of all the people that are a little bit more quiet. And finding a way to include everybody and use the brain power of everybody in the whole company, and then as a smart CEO, tailoring this into a strategy, into the purpose, the vision, the values, that everybody is running by themselves and they don't have to drag anybody along, that makes a huge difference. And then when I'm using this process, it doesn't really matter how I call it, like why or purpose or wherefore. The brilliant model that's behind it is using the swarm intelligence of the whole company, involving everybody, because then everybody in that company is going in the same direction. And this will actually, as a CEO who wants to have a legacy, make it so much easier to create that legacy, because everybody's helping me to do that.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, it's become terribly obvious these days that it's a good way to do things. But say 15 years ago, that phrase, purpose-based organization, was a newish phrase and a different. It was like, oh, well, what do you mean? It sounds a bit soft. Sounds a bit cotton wool. You know, we're General Electric, and we build trains, and we do things all over the world. And you know, it's Jack Welch, and we're a very big, tough CEO, and we fire the bottom 15% every year to get stronger. And that's a way to run a business, sure. But purpose-based organization, and that, just coming back to Graham and Michael and Chris and Chris, that's what Graham was brilliant at. He couldn't have acted any other way, even if he had tried. He would walk into that call center, and there were people from all over the world in that call center, Egyptians, Bangladesh, Spanish. It was the United Nations. But he would remember every single person's name. And he might even come by you and tap you on the shoulder, just as a, hi, how you doing? And then he'd pop on. So it was utterly lived. That purpose, vision, values, strategies, utterly lived every day. And it was printed out on the wall. And I think that, you know, if you've got an army and you've got a leader and you've got generals and things like that, he had very good generals who helped. You know, Michael was one of them, running around disseminating that same message, being a chief repeating officer on that journey. And yet you do need to tap in and take it seriously and go, okay, what are we going to get done in the next 6 months? What are we going to get done in the next year? And sometimes, no, we cannot go down that road and do that particular thing because we haven't got our strategies on course or enough progress on certain strategies. It might be that, you know, recruitment is a huge part of the strategy for that 6 month section. So someone comes along and then they say, oh, well, we've got a bunch of EDMs that we want to do out to bank managers and finance people to let them know that we're in the business of broking and mortgages and just, you know, that'll help them. And you have to say no, because a strategy is recruitment. That's not helping there. So that's got to stay there. And that's, again, when it is useful, not just for nice conversations, but also for hard business conversations.
I love that. It really keeps you on track, right? So we've got our strategies defined. Now let's only do the stuff that really helps putting them into practice.
Yeah.
And one more quick analogy. Chris Taylor often talks about when you shear sheep in New Zealand, and all over the world, because I'm English and I've seen this in the UK too, but Kiwis get a lot of heat for this. You only allow the ones that are, you know, fat enough and good enough to come through and do all that jazz. So there's a drafting gate. Sorry, it's not about shearing. It's about sheep going to market. So we're going to sell the sheep. So we round up 600 sheep and they come through at this drafting gate. And you will literally look at them and go, is that sheep fat enough for market? And the drafting gate goes right and off it goes into the truck. If it's not and it needs to go back out into the field, then it goes and eats some more grass and the drafting gate goes left. That's how obvious, are we on task or are we not on task? This becomes. So are we on strategy or is it the whim of somebody else that wants a job done when there's clearly something else that is terrifically important and on strategy?
Love it. What a great analogy to wrap this session up with sheep and do they go to market or not? Thank you so much, Andy, for being with us today. For our listeners who've been thinking, well, that was an awful lot of really smart stuff that Andy just said, and I need a strategic brand agency who thinks exactly like that, how do they find you? How do they reach out to you at Origami?
So the website is Origami, Origami-brand.com. And yep, you can find me, Andy Haynes, Haines, on LinkedIn and all the usual jazz.
Fabulous. Wonderful. Thank you so much for being with us today, Andy, and for sharing your story and your experiences with the Vierklang model of purpose, vision, values, and strategies. And handing over to Dominic for the last goodbyes. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Catherine, and thank you, Andy. It was a pleasure to, and thank you for taking the time being here with us from New Zealand, giving your insights of 15 years of Vierklang as well. I'm wishing you a wonderful week and talk to you soon. Bye.
That's it for today with Vierklang Strategy Coaching in our Chief of Anything podcast. If you would like to discover the impact of Vierklang Strategy Coaching for your company, then simply click on the link in the description and get in touch with us.